The Science of Wholeness, Part 1 by Russell Simmons. Introduction for Part 1. What acid of sorrow have I not drunk? Countless my rounds of birth and death. Lo, naught but nectar in my cup. Quaffed by the art of breath. Lala Yogeshwari. Not content to live life on its surface, I felt an unshakable compulsion to dive deep into its essence, seeking the true self within. Physical life, fleeting and unpredictable, seemed inadequate, an endless puzzle that demanded a higher, more enduring spiritual reality to make any sense. For most of my life, I felt profoundly disconnected from God, disconnected from wholeness, faith, and the inner strength that so many seem to find naturally. The separation from divine love was unbearable. Being human felt both exhausting and terrifying. I wandered through life, feeling lost, anxious, and deeply puzzled. A skeptic at heart, I often questioned the existence of spiritual realms or an afterlife. This internal conflict led me into what I can only describe as the dark night of the soul, a period of deep suffering that I have written about in the section following this introduction. What acid of sorrow have I not drunk? This profound verse, which I discovered in an intriguing footnote on page 225 of Paramahansa Yogananda's Autobiography of a Yogi, has resonated with me for years. It was penned by the 14th century mystic Lala Yogeshwari, who through breath control and perfect celibacy attained a sublime state of enlightenment. Her tale fascinates me. She did not die in the conventional sense, but rather dematerialized her body in fire and reappeared to her grieving friends, robed in golden attire. Her story evokes a truth I've been chasing all my life, a deeper understanding of the miraculous and the infinite. My entire journey has been defined by an insatiable thirst for God, for the miraculous, and for the mysteries of life beyond death. Along the way, I encountered experiences and revelations that defied conventional explanation. I read numerous books on near-death experiences, many of which were grounded in science and presented compelling evidence. Combined with the countless texts I've studied and some extraordinary personal experiences, I eventually reached the point where I could no longer doubt the reality of life after death. The resurrection of Christ, a concept that had often left me questioning, began to resonate more deeply as I realized similar occurrences have been documented throughout history, especially among advanced yogis like those featured in Autobiography of a Yogi. These accounts, where enlightened beings returned in a resurrected form, often with urgent messages, suggest that Christ-like miracles are not isolated events. In fact, Yogananda's own guru returned after death to describe in vivid detail the stages of consciousness and realms beyond this life. A full chapter of Autobiography of a Yogi is dedicated to this extraordinary discourse. I remember watching a documentary in June 1994, 2020 to be exact, that chronicled the journey of an English woman who, through undeniable spiritual experiences, tracked down her children from a previous life in Ireland. This case, much like the teachings of Yogananda, offered further proof that we are not bound by one life or one body. The cycles of birth and death may be countless, but within them lies a greater purpose, a deeper connection to the infinite. Through these discoveries, the universe has become for me a far richer, more profound tapestry of interconnected realities, each one waiting to be explored and understood. The nectar, quaffed by the art of breath, speaks to a profound, innate joy that lies within each of us, waiting to be accessed through the transformative power of yoga, especially through pranayams, the art of breath. This isn't just a technique. It's a path to personal liberation and global healing. In a world on the brink of chaos, yoga offers the most essential lifeline, a return to nature, wholeness, and universal love. The future of humanity and the Earth depends on this reconnection. It's not just about peace of mind and happiness for a few. Yoga provides the tools for lasting contentment and harmony for all. The reason we face such overwhelming health crises, social breakdowns, and economic inequality is that the world is not attuned to the science of wholeness, the most vital of all sciences. This holistic method incorporates special diets, pure water, antioxidants, energy work, meditation, breath mastery, and tantra. A fusion of practices that could lead to a truly enlightened way of living. At the root of humanity's suffering is a single fundamental cause: our ignorance of the soul's true nature, both in ourselves and in others. This disconnection from our deeper selves shapes how men and women relate to one another, impacting every facet of life. We are blind to our divinity, and that blindness manifests in the dissonance in our relationships and the world around us. Overpopulation is one of the most visible outcomes of this broken dynamic. The way men relate to women, and the way women respond in turn, fuels a population surge that strains the Earth's resources and erodes our quality of life. Centuries ago, infectious diseases kept population growth in check. But now, in an era of medical advancement, nature's balance has been completely upended. What we desperately need is a natural alternative method of birth control that resonates with humanity's spiritual needs, one that could be embraced even by the world's most devout religions, like Catholicism. Population growth is at the core of many global problems, but it's not the only issue. The deeper concern is the fractured nature of human relationships, which are at the heart of both the planet's and society's decay. The crisis isn't limited to population alone. It's about the quality of life itself. When the fabric of society unravels through the collapse of the family unit, gang violence, drug addiction, alcoholism, rampant sexually transmitted diseases, and a lack of moral compass, the suffering can often be traced back to fractured relationships. Disillusionment in love, dissatisfaction in our connections, and a disregard for the essential foundation of society, the family, have left us lost and longing. The quality of our existence hinges on how we relate to one another, how we raise our children, and whether we choose to rediscover the sacredness that binds us. Only by healing the core of these human interactions can we address the widespread turmoil that grips our world. Imagine a world where the average person could experience true wholeness and higher consciousness through their relationship with their partner. A spiritual marriage that transcends the ordinary and taps into the extraordinary. Such a union could transform not just individual lives, but the very fabric of society, making lasting romance a reality and creating a foundation of deep satisfaction. The family, strengthened by this profound connection, would become the cornerstone of a healthy, happy, and meaningful community. So why isn't this happening? Where does it all go wrong? The failure of these higher ideals to manifest lies in a widespread lack of understanding of the immense benefits of spiritual life. We are bombarded by the distractions and demands of a materialistic world, and in our pursuit of fleeting sensory pleasures, we lose sight of the deeper fulfillment that's available. Greed, selfishness, and materialism waste our most valuable resources, our time, our energy, our spirit. Yet, there exists a far more direct path to true soul satisfaction. A method far more efficient than chasing temporary pleasures. By mastering the immense driving force within each of us, and transmuting it into higher awareness through special breathing exercises, mindful nutrition, and spiritual practice, we can reconnect with the divine and access prolonged states of bliss and joy. The sensual does not need to be abandoned, but transformed. With the right tools, which I explain in the lessons of this book, we can turn the fleeting into the infinite, elevating our awareness from the surface level to the profound depths of soul communion. This transformation is not a fantasy, but a reality within reach. For men, the conservation of seminal fluids, and for women, the transmutation of their sexual energy can open the door to a new and deeply satisfying way to relate to one another. By embracing practices like whole body vibration, massage, relaxation, proper nutrition, water fasting, exercise, breathwork, and, most importantly, deep love and devotion to the divine in each other, we can birth an entirely new dimension of human connection. Hearts open, love deepens, and the experience of profound ecstatic union becomes possible, reaching heights previously unexplored. In this way, women can discover wholeness by transmuting their relationship with their partner, and men can achieve higher consciousness by doing the same. This, I believe, represents the next great step in human evolution, the evolution towards spiritual perfection. Relationships will no longer serve merely as a way to satisfy material needs, but will become a sacred journey, helping each partner find true inner satisfaction through the high art of liberating sensuality into something far greater. This is the path to profound love, ecstatic connection, and ultimately to communion with the soul itself. As long as sexual energy remains trapped at the base of the spine, men will continue to see women merely as a source of temporary, intense physical release, while women will view men as providers of security and children. This transactional approach perpetuates humanity's cycle of loneliness, dissatisfaction, and other deep-rooted hardships. But there's another path, a much higher calling that offers lasting inner joy and true fulfillment. I envision a sacred opportunity, one where sexual energy, when properly conserved and transmuted, becomes a force for love, creativity, and profound spiritual satisfaction. By redirecting this powerful energy, we touch upon the elusive holy grail of eternal joy and immortal wholeness, a treasure long sought by humankind. Through this transformation, the sexual fluids are no longer squandered on fleeting moments of pleasure. Instead, they are conserved and alchemized into a source of boundless love, inspiration, and creative potential. This is not just about avoiding physical release, but about elevating our entire being, body, mind, and spirit, toward a state of deeper connection and spiritual evolution. In this, I see the answer to our collective longing for immortality and the eternal joy that accompanies it. Using this book. For those reading this book, I hope you are familiar with the practices of yoga and meditation. If not, I highly encourage you to seek out classes or delve into reputable books on the subject. Understanding these foundational practices will enable you to fully appreciate and gain the maximum benefit from what I've shared here. If you're already well-versed in Hatha yoga postures and practice them regularly, you'll be in a much better position to absorb and benefit from the Lama yoga breathing techniques introduced in this book. An inflexible spine can restrict the flow of Kundalini energy, preventing its full expression, which is why flexibility and openness are so important. Another point to keep in mind is that part two of this book includes a detailed glossary with essential terms like Lama yoga and Kundalini. I encourage you to review it, as understanding these key concepts is crucial to fully grasping the content. Consider the glossary not as an afterthought, but as an integral part of your learning journey. It's filled with vital and unusual information that will deepen your understanding and enhance your experience. Lastly, at the end of the glossary, you'll find a Bible reference list, a comprehensive and alphabetical guide to quotations and subjects from the Bible, but from a yogi's perspective, which I reference throughout the text. For those inclined toward a biblical perspective, this list will serve as a useful tool for exploring the spiritual dimensions that align with the teachings and themes I present. The Descent into Agoraphobia, an Unexpected Struggle. By 1982, as if the years of physical and emotional torment weren't enough to push anyone to their limits, I encountered a new and paralyzing enemy: panic attacks, so severe that they brought with them a crushing sense of agoraphobia. Overnight, my world shrank. I could no longer venture far beyond familiar city streets without the terrifying sensation of losing all control. Driving to distant places, taking vacations, simple joys that others took for granted, became impossible. My internal compass seemed to collapse, and I lost my grip on balance, memory, even the basic sense of up or down, which left me trapped in an ever-tightening spiral of isolation and confusion. The abyss of anxiety and loneliness. In my 20s and 30s, I was submerged in a darkness so deep, it felt like an infinite abyss of anxiety and despair. Every day, I was haunted by relentless waves of panic, a pervasive dread that stripped away any sense of safety or peace. Sleep offered no solace. At night, as I lay down, it felt like the very ground beneath me was being torn away, as if the entire universe was collapsing into a void, dragging me along with it. The sensation of the earth tilting, spinning, sometimes even feeling upside down, became an unbearable nightly ritual. And yet, despite the magnitude of my suffering, I could never muster the courage for suicide, though I contemplated it more times than I care to admit. The only thing keeping me tethered to life was a fragile hope, the hope that, somehow, somewhere, I might still find a reason to continue. A desperate search for answers. Desperation led me down countless avenues for help. I went through counselors, psychologists, doctors, and psychiatrists, all of whom offered only temporary distractions or ineffective solutions. Each session, each pill, only drained my resources further. The problem was too vast, too intricate for any one diagnosis or treatment to handle. The complexity of my suffering, the sheer volume of little problems, made it impossible for any one thing to provide relief. Even my few friends, well-meaning as they were, abandoned me once they realized the depth of my struggles, leaving me feeling more bitter, more isolated. A glimmer of hope, the search for God and love. But there was one thing that kept me alive: the burning hope of discovering a deeply personal, nurturing God. I yearned for a spiritual connection, for the profound healing love that I believed could come from such a divine relationship. And alongside that hope, I longed for a soulmate, a beautiful, caring woman with whom I could merge both spiritually and emotionally. My ideals of a spiritual marriage, two souls entwined as one, fueled my imagination and gave birth to countless romantic fantasies. However, the frustration of never finding such love, of being denied those deep connections, only deepened my sense of alienation. Art became my refuge. In my drawings, I expressed the longings and ideals that I could not bring into reality. It was a silent, solitary outlet for all the emotions and desires that had no other place to go. A lifelong study of health and spirituality. Driven by a desperate need to escape my suffering, I became an obsessive student of health, nutrition, and spirituality. I devoured books on everything from positive thinking and metaphysics to religion, yoga, and mysticism. Although many of these pursuits failed to provide the relief I sought, I found that diet and nutrition held the most promise. By my mid-30s, after years of self-experimentation and study, I had developed a high-protein diet and exercise routine that finally allowed me to gain weight, improve my digestion, and manage the anxiety and depression that had plagued me for so long. But that was just the beginning. What I eventually stumbled upon was far more profound: a holistic system that combined yoga, transmutation of energy, meditation, and specialized breathing exercises. This system opened a door to a new dimension of healing, one that promised a path to wholeness that I had never before imagined.